Listening to the afternoon show, and our first guests today are Ron Tunison, sculptor, artist, and Cairo resident, who has made something of a name for himself with sculptures that memorialise the people and the battles of the Civil War. And 2011 is, of course, the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. Also with us, another Cairo resident, Robert Hempstead, who's a trustee for the Cairo Historical Society, and both will be at a presentation this Thursday, August 18th, at Gallagher's Banquet Hall in Cairo to memorialise the war and also the sculpture of Ron Tunison. So welcome to the afternoon show, Robert and Ron.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. So I'm just going to give a little bit more background on Ron. Ron has established himself as an expert in his field of art with four bronze monuments on the Gettysburg PA battlefield and one on the Antietam MD battlefield, and also one at the entrance to the Museum of the Civil War Soldier at Pamplin Park near Petersburg, Virginia. Ron's art education was at the School of Visual Arts in New York, where he studied painting, illustration, photography, and sculpting. And then he was under the tutelage of the illustrious sculptor Granville C. Carter, who saw Ron's work and was so impressed with his sculptures that he procured for him a scholarship to study life figure and portrait modelling and anatomy with Michael Lance at the National Academy School of Fine Arts. So, Ron, just tell us why this fascination with the Civil War. How did it all start?
Well, that's kind of a hard one. I've been fascinated with the Civil War period since I was a kid, and I guess some of my earliest recollections were when we would go on family vacations to my grandparents' house in Western Maryland. And we would actually drive through Gettysburg. This was before the bypass was put there. And I would see the monuments and the cannons, and I'd beg my parents to stop and so we could explore this, you know, incredible place that we were driving through. And, of course, back then, the main emphasis was to get to visit our relatives in Western Maryland. So it wasn't until I was with a Boy Scout troop that I first came to Gettysburg, and I remember very well we stayed in this armory on Seminary Ridge, and after we had stowed all our gear in the armory, there was a basketball court out back, and most of the other scouts started playing basketball, and I took off on my own to explore the battlefield and the cannons, and I guess that is what really got me going. I mean, I just came away from that trip just loving Civil War cannons and the statuary, and then as I got a little older, the 100th anniversary started, 1961, and I mean, it just seemed there was Civil War stuff all over the place. Life magazine, which we got, had incredible articles with phenomenal artists doing beautiful pictures of Civil War battle scenes. One artist that I just fell in love with back then was a fellow by the name of Tom Lovell. Just did incredible stuff. And I guess seeing all that stuff in the magazine and the TV shows, and several trips later on with my family to Gettysburg, just got me totally enthralled with that battlefield and the Civil War.
And it was the Civil War that got you interested in sculpture also?
Well, sculpting itself was kind of interesting because I started collecting Civil War artifacts from antique shops in my neighborhood. And I was also very interested in, drawing. I did draw Civil War battle scenes and stuff like that, but sculpting didn't really start until later in high school. And I was very fascinated with there was an antique shop in New York City run by a fellow by the name of Robert Abels. And I grew up on Long Island, and I would take the bus and the subway into the city to go to Robert Abels and, buy stuff. I would save, I had like $15, $20, which you could actually buy a lot of stuff with back then. And he had two sculptures by a fellow by the name of Lionel Forrest. And I was really fascinated with them, and I wanted to buy one. But at the time, I think they were $75, and way out of my price range. So I was a junior in high school, and I was taking a ceramics class. And I asked my ceramics teacher, Fred Obrensky, if I could make a figure. And I made a Confederate and a Union soldier fighting each other. And when I was done, a classmate offered me $5 for it. So it was my first sale. And I made another piece and another piece. And I slowly started making Civil War figures out of clay. And it really started in high school. And before I had graduated, I was fortunate enough to have several teachers who had purchased pieces that I had done, you know, and that kind of got me started. But I never thought I could make a living at sculpting, so I pursued my artistic careers at, with drawing and painting and photography, and it wasn't until much later that I actually went into it full-time, although I had been doing these Civil War figures, you know. I continued doing those long after I got out of high school and all through art school and stuff like that. So,
and when did you start making these bronzes then?
Well, the that was kind of I kind of lucked out, I guess, with those, because as I said before, I was really fascinated with the monuments at Gettysburg, and I would go down to Gettysburg and I would photograph them and use them as inspire me and give me ideas for the smaller 12-inch pieces that I would be doing. And I had, back then I would do these pieces that were what I would call one-of-a-kind pieces. They were the fired clay, and I would paint them. And it would be a, about 12-inch size figure. And, you know, I had been selling these to classmates, and word got around, and I actually started selling these small figures to a place called the Soldier Shop in New York City. And they sold fairly well. So I was continuing doing this, and I had one of these figures at a gallery in Gettysburg. And a group was, I guess, looking for a sculptor to do this statue of General Samuel Crawford for the 125th anniversary of the battle. And they contacted me to do this and asked me if I'd be interested in doing it. And I said, of course, sure, I'd love to do it. And when I hung up, I just about fainted. You know, I mean, I couldn't believe somebody was asking me to do one of these monumental sculptures at Gettysburg. And I figured it, it was going to be a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, shot. So I put everything I could into that. And I hadn't the slightest idea how to do it. It was an 8-foot figure. And I hadn't the slightest idea how to do an 8-foot figure. I've only been doing, like, 12-inch figures. So with the help of the Telex Foundry, which cast the thing, you know, I was able to go through all the steps, and they helped me a great deal. And as I said, I put everything I could into that sculpture of General Samuel Crawford because I thought it would be, you know, the first and last monument I would ever do in my life. You know, I mean, how do you get monuments? I mean, I didn't know, you know. But, of course, that led to the next one and the next one. So it was great. It was great. But
so have you sort of become like the official Civil War sculptor for America, for the world?
Well, I mean, in some ways, I mean, there are quite a few other sculptors out there who have done Civil War monuments and stuff. But I think I have the record of having, as a living sculptor, having more monuments on Civil War battlefields than any other living sculptor. So I've been very fortunate, you know, that way, and I've made a very good living at, you know, doing these different statues, combining my interest in the Civil War and history, you know, with my interest in art and sculpting.
And is it possible to estimate how many you've done in total?
The large monuments I have done, there are 9 that I have done. I don't know, do you want me to read them off?
Yes, give us some examples.
All right, well, the first one, of course, was the General Samuel Crawford Monument that was dedicated in 1988. Then that led to the friend-to-friend Masonic Memorial in Gettysburg, which was dedicated 1993. And that led to the Irish Brigade Monument on the Antietam Battlefield in Maryland. That was a bas relief. It was a little bit different than the other pieces that I had done. Then came the National Museum of the Civil War Soldier, at Pamplin Park, where I did the 2 soldiers on what I call the bivouac. And then the Delaware State hired me to do a memorial for Gettysburg to honor their troops that fought at Gettysburg. Then I got something a little bit different, which was the Civil War Women's Memorial, which was actually a statue of this woman, Elizabeth Thorne, who was a six-month pregnant lady who was taking care of the Evergreen Cemetery in Gettysburg because her husband, who was the actual caretaker, was away with the Union Army. And she buried, after the battle, like 91 Union soldiers. And it was quite an amazing feat, you know. And again, it was a very unique, you know, opportunity to do something a little bit different. And then that was followed by a Confederate general, Patrick Claiborne, who was at the Ringgold Gap Battlefield in Georgia. And most recently, this was dedicated, the Patrick Claiborne statue was the last one I did. That was dedicated 2009. But just before that, I did a Revolutionary War piece for the state of Delaware, three Revolutionary War soldiers to honor the soldiers that fought from the state of Delaware, from the three counties in the state of Delaware, which always makes me chuckle thinking of how many counties there are in the state of New York. I'd love to get something similar for the state of New York. I'd be busy for the rest of my life, I think, you know.
That was actually, so, you should have answered one of my next questions. Are you ever going to run out of subjects to sculpt?
No.
People to sculpt?
No, I love the period, the Civil War period. I love, you know, historical sculptures. I love the equipment, the uniforms, and I mean, right now I'm talking to several different groups about doing, you know, different statues for other, like the Shiloh Battlefield out in Mississippi and some other places out in the western part of the where the Civil War was fought. And I'm also working, well, I've started, but they're having trouble with raising funds, unfortunately. But I started a, which will be a life-size statue of Abraham Lincoln, which was supposed to be dedicated this coming November at the 150th anniversary of Lincoln at Bailey's Crossroads down in the Alexandria, Virginia area. And, you know, now they're shooting for, you know, 2012 to have that done. I hope it comes, you know.
Now, you talked about uniforms. Do you use actual uniforms and actual props from the time when you, as models?
I found that, you know, as much stuff as I can get to make my job sculpting easier, you know, is helpful. And I have used, when I first started out when I was younger and Civil War uniforms were a little bit cheaper, I did have a few original items that I used to use. And I remember I had a Civil War cap that I picked up, very reasonable. And if I was doing a cavalry soldier, I'd put the cross sabers on the top. And then infantry, I'd put the bugle or the horn, artillery, the cross cannons. And I have this original Civil War cap with all these holes punched in top, which, you know, today I kind of regret. But, you know, back then it only cost me like $10, you know. So, but I do use a lot of original stuff, weapons and muskets and stuff. And I think part of the reason for my success is the fact that, you know, I strive for not only artistry and you know, trying to create something beautifully rendered artistically, but also historically accurate. You know, I mean, I try to get everything as accurate as possible, and I think this reputation has what has gotten me numerous other monuments after my first one. So,
and do you ever flirt with any other wars, or do you just remain loyal to the Civil War?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I did do that Revolutionary War piece for the state of Delaware, which was interesting during the bicentennial with the Revolution or the 200th anniversary of the Revolutionary War. I did several figures back then, but the Civil War, I guess, fascinates me most probably because of the photography. You can actually see what these people look like, and there are some incredible photographs. And then I like everything the way it is. I like the way the men have the facial hair, the style of the uniforms, the boots they used to wear, the equipment they carried. I have tinkered with the Napoleonic War period, the World War I, World War II. You know, I did several World War II pieces when the 50th anniversary rolled around. You know, fascinated with paratroopers and then talking with World War II vets and hearing their stories. I would do more, but again, I have to look at it as a business. Mm. So I pretty much do things people pay me to do, you know. So
sounds wise.
So.
But you do reenactments as well, right? You dress up and
I used to. I guess I became fascinated with it in 1973. I was at the, as a photographer, a reenactment of Gettysburg, photographing it for an educational film strip company I was working for, and I said, I got to get involved in this, you know, and I was looking all over the place to join a Civil War group, and everybody I talked to was from, like, South Carolina or Georgia or someplace like that. I was looking for something local and couldn't find anything, and I was good friends with a cartoonist named George Woodbridge, who happened to be very involved in the Brigade of the American Revolution, and he had been bugging me to join. And initially, I didn't want to join because, oh, that's silly, you know, grown-up men running around, you know, in uniforms playing war, you know. But after photographing this event, you know, I joined the brigade and was really fascinated with going to a lot of these Revolutionary War events. And it just happened, I came across in one of the Revolutionary War units a guy who was in a Civil War unit because he was wearing Civil War shoes, not Revolutionary War shoes. And I said, those are Civil War shoes. And he was with a group from New Jersey. So I joined them, and then I participated in both Revolutionary War and Civil War for quite some time. Eventually, I just kind of stuck with the Civil War after the 200th anniversary event started to kind of die out. But I loved it, and I got to the point where I was getting ready to quit when my boys, my two sons, were getting old enough, and I thought this would be a great father-son thing to do. So I continued being involved in these Civil War reenactments with them, you know, for quite a few years as they were growing up, and it was a great way to, you know, bond with my two boys and stuff, and it was great. But I eventually reached the point where, as I got older, running around in a wool uniform on 100 degree days, you know, being eaten alive by mosquitoes and stuff, it just, the whole thing just kind of lost its appeal. So I haven't really done it for you know, about 5-6 years now. But you know, with the 150th anniversary events coming up, you know, I might be enticed to participate in something again, you know. So,
do your kids share your interest?
Well, my two boys, it's interesting. One's very involved in music, that's Trevor, and the other one's an actor, and they're both living in the city now. Trevor really got into it. You know, he started out as a drummer boy. He's really into music. He learned all the drum calls. You know, I was very proud of him at dress parade, marching up and down with his drum, knowing the drum calls. And some of the reenactments, you know, he learned all the different calls. And Wesley, who was more theatrical, he didn't care too much for the battle part of it, but he loved the scenarios, you know, like the hospital scenes, you know. And I remember one time they did him up with a phony wound, you know, where his stomach was ripped open, and he loved it, you know, and he was moaning and groaning and doing all his acting thing, you know. I guess now probably the two of them, you know, are very involved pursuing their own careers, you know, so none of us are really involved in it now, but I think maybe sometime in the future they might, you know, get involved again or something, you know, who knows, you know, so...
And this might be a question for Robert. We don't mean to ignore you here, but
that's fine.
What was Cairo doing in the Civil War? What's the importance of Cairo in all this?
Well, I was teasing Ron on the way over. I told him to speak about how many battles we had in Cairo, which we had none. But, I mean, Cairo had people that were in the Civil War. Ron could probably tell you more about that than I could, because Ron's really studied it. I'm actually like a newcomer as far as the Historical Society. But, I mean... all the areas participated, a lot from Ulster County and Greene County. And
So, Ron, can you add anything to that?
Well, there were quite a few people that fought in the Civil War from Cairo. The town of Cairo itself didn't really have a recruiting area. I actually have an enlistment papers from somebody from Cairo that went up to Wyndham to be recruited. And I think he was in like the 120th New York. So a lot of the people from Cairo enlisted in numerous different areas outside of Cairo and even outside of Greene County. And one of the more interesting things about this area, I mean, if you go over to the Catskill Cemetery, we actually have several black soldiers that fought in the 54th Massachusetts, which the movie was made about with Colonel Shaw. And they actually traveled from Catskill all the way to Boston to enlist in the 54th, you know, as the first black regiment, you know. So there's a lot of history from our area involved with, you know, people going off and fighting in the Civil War. And Robert Uzilia, who is also very involved in the Carroll Historical Society, actually found a dog tag from somebody from Carroll who was actually wounded at Gettysburg, you know, and which is quite an artifact, you know. So it is fascinating, I mean, to do some of the local history and studying some of the people who fought in the Civil War.
There were no battles in the Civil War up here, were there?
No, I think the closest we came to anything like that was a bunch of Confederates kind of came into New York from through Canada and robbed a bank. I forget the name of the town, but they got quite a lot of money. But then I think Canada got cold feet and turned them in because they were afraid the United States might have invaded Canada or something, you know. But most of the battles were fought, you know, Virginia and south of Virginia. The closest battle really to our area was Gettysburg, and it's exactly 325 miles from my house because I've driven it so many times. But you know, that's really the closest battle of the Civil War. I mean, to our area. You know, but of course, the Revolutionary War. You know, I mean, this area is ripe with all kinds of Revolutionary War history, and both the Continental Army and the British Army marched through this area quite often. You know, so
yeah, people were very involved. There are many posters and things from fundraisings and things in Hudson to support Civil War families and soldiers, and I suppose across the river as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, it was quite an incredible period in our history, and just about everybody, you know, was involved in it in one way or another. So.
Do you think there's as much interest in the Civil War as there is in other wars amongst the public?
I would have to say, you know, the Civil War still carries a tremendous amount of interest. I mean, I was fascinated as a kid when the 100th anniversary kind of rolled around, and I started to realize what incredible interest there was in the Civil War period. And of course, I've been very involved in it now for well over 40 years. And, you know, studying it and going to battlefields and, of course, for a while they're being involved in reenactings. And, you know, I've seen the interest grow over the years from the 100th anniversary. The 125th was really, you know, there was a lot of interest then. I don't think, unfortunately, because maybe the economic situation, people are quite as involved now with the beginning of the 150th. I'm hoping maybe as more people are talking about it, I'm noticing more and more articles in newspapers and magazines about the 150th anniversary. But, you know, again, you know, the not having New York State really involved and promoting it, even though New York State probably had more soldiers fighting in the Civil War than any other state, you know, it makes it a little bit tougher to, you know, get things going. But there are a lot of grassroots groups, and there are a lot of things, you know, happening around, you know, Greene County and Columbia County and other places like that. So
there's a bronze Civil War monument in Hillsdale. Are you aware of that?
I probably know it. I don't know that the town is Hillsdale. Is it around 23?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with it, yeah. I don't think those people in that small town have the slightest idea what a treasure they have there and how valuable that is. A statue like that today, as a matter of fact, I am putting together some estimates for a group that wants to do something similar, and these estimates are coming in somewhere between $300,000 and $400,000. And I don't think those people have the slightest idea that statue is worth that much, you know. And that's not even including the granite pedestal that it's on, you know, which maybe you could add another $90,000 for that. So they got quite a special piece of art there.
What do you think a movie like Gone with the Wind did for the Civil War?
Well, I'll never forget the first time I saw Gone with the Wind. I was, I guess, looking for a Civil War movie, and although it takes place when the Civil War, it's really a love story, and I was really disappointed. Over the years, I've watched it several times. I think it's an incredible movie. I mean, it really kind of captures the period and what happened in the South and how a way of life really ended with the Civil War for the South. But I really think, like, you know, I mean, Ken Burns with his Civil War series did a tremendous amount to, I guess, get a great interest in the Civil War with his miniseries and several of the movies. I mean, when Glory came out, the movie Gettysburg helped a lot. So movies help, you know, a great deal, I believe. You know, and I'm hoping that, you know, at some point, maybe before the Civil War 150th anniversaries are over, that maybe something might come out to spur some more interest again. But
what should people know about the Civil War?
Not a lot.
You know, if for example, someone doesn't know that much about the Civil War, what should do you think that they should know?
Well, I used to lecture to schools. You know, I'd get dressed up as a Civil War soldier and go to schools and talk about what it was like to be a Civil War soldier. And, I mean, it used to amaze me, you know, when the kids in the school, you know, they'd be dressed up in a blue uniform as a Yankee, and they'd say, you got to watch out for those redcoats, you know. And I said, I'm not fighting redcoats, I'm fighting graycoats, you know. And it was really interesting, you know, I mean, how little, I guess, is emphasized, you know, on the Civil War and other periods in our military history. And it's fascinating. I mean, I've been studying and reading about the Civil War period for, you know, as I say, you know, maybe 50 years, and I'm constantly amazed at what new stuff keeps coming up. You know, you'd think you'd read everything, and it was to read, but it's really great. And I really wish there was something, and I'm hoping maybe the 150th anniversary might spur some more interest in that period. But it really is a fascinating period, and I really wish, you know, there was more out there for kids. I mean, like, there are events that happen that if kids went to, they could learn a lot, you know, about how Civil War soldiers looked, their uniforms, how they camped and stuff. But, you know, I don't feel that. I don't know if it's the parents' fault, you know, or what, for not taking them to these different things, but there is a lot to learn, and it's a fascinating period in American history, you know.
And the actual anniversary runs from when to when?
Well, I guess, what was it, this past, well, it was back in April that we had the 150th anniversary of the firing on Fort Sumter. That really started it all, although... if you want to go back, I mean, you could go back even sooner, and there were celebrations for John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry. They had reenactments of that, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So there is a building of interest, and, you know, I know we recently had the big reenactment of the Battle of First Bull Run or Manassas, you know, which was quite an incredible event and made everybody realize that the Civil War wasn't going to be over in one or two battles, you know. I mean, it was a real eye-opener, especially for the North that figured they were going to just march in there and, you know, wipe these rebels out, you know. And, they, of course, they got a big surprise when the Confederates won the battle, you know. And of course, all the people that came out to watch the battle as kind of a sporting event were also quite horrified at the reality of war and what actually took place, you know. So things are beginning to happen, you know. I mean, this is it. This is the beginning, you know, and it'll go through, you know, 2015, which, you know, will end with the surrender probably of Lee and to Grant at Appomattox, you know, courthouse. You know, but there are a lot of incredible things coming up. I mean, next year, I mean, the Battle of Antietam was a really intense battle of the Civil War. It still has a record for more Americans dying in that battle than any other battle America has ever been involved in, and it was just a one-day battle, you know. And then, of course, then you have Gettysburg coming up in 2013, and, you know, that Gettysburg is kind of the mecca for anybody interested in the Civil War. You know, you go down there, I mean, everybody knows Gettysburg. Everybody studies the battle, and again, I'm really thrilled and honored to have four monuments there, and it's kind of made me a little bit of a celebrity in a sense that anything involved with Gettysburg, people are interested in. I mean, there are websites about monuments at Gettysburg, and I see my monuments on them, and you know, these websites get hit, you know, lots and lots of times. You know,
and, of course, Gettysburg makes you think of Lincoln. So I wonder what kind of pose is your Abe Lincoln in?
Well, Lincoln at Bailey's Crossroads, the idea behind it was that Lincoln wanted to give, I guess, the Union morale builder after the great disaster at the First Bull Run, and show the Confederates that the Union Army was still intact. So they had this massive parade. It was over 70,000 Union troops that marched, cavalry, artillery, everybody behind for this grand review, of which Lincoln, was part of. And there are a lot of statues of Lincoln, and this would be another one. There aren't any depicted in this particular area where this grand review took place, but there are a lot of great statues. And, of course, there are a couple statues of Lincoln at Gettysburg because of his Gettysburg Address and everything. But, that's another thing which I'm hoping will, come about and be realized, because I just would love to, fall into that category of a sculptor who has done Lincoln, and because there are lots of famous sculptors who have done Lincoln, and I would like to be able to figure it into as one of those sculptors, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that this happens. And of course, as my wife always says, you got to think positive about this, and it is what's going to happen, so that's the way I'm trying to think about this. But this economic situation that we're in now is just kind of hard for people donating the large amount of funds that are needed for something like this.
So is there anything else that we haven't asked you that you'd like to add, or Robert, would you like to add anything?
I'm just enthralled listening to Ron talk about the Civil War. I love the Civil War.
You're
also.
You're a fan. You're the official fan club here.
I could hear him all day.
But, you talk a little bit about, it's a slideshow. There's going to be memorabilia. I'm going to talk about my monuments at Gettysburg at the Carroll Historical Society this coming Thursday at Gallagher's, right across the street from the library in Carroll. It starts at 7. If people are interested in finding out a little bit more about monuments, I'll be doing a slideshow on how they're made. It's a very collaborative experience. It's not just me doing the clay. You're very involved with the foundry who does the casting, making of the molds and the waxes, the granite bases, the transportation to the site, the groundwork. I mean, it's very, very involved and fascinating sequence of events, which I'll be talking about at Gallagher's this coming Thursday.
And if people want to know a little more about you, you have a website?
Historicalsculptures.com, which I've been trying to upgrade. I don't have my latest two monuments on it, I've been working on it for 6 months now, and hopefully I have a good friend who's helping me with it, and hopefully in the next month, at least before the end of the year, I'm hoping to have all the new stuff, because I have sculptures listed on my website for sale that are sold out, and I do get calls still for pieces that I just don't have anymore, and so I'll be glad when I do get the website up to date, but people can check out historicalsculptures.com and at least get some idea of some of the monuments and smaller pieces that I've done.
And your website is the only outlet for your work, then? You don't sell it retail anywhere?
I guess there was a period of about 10 years in the 1990s that, I think was just a golden era for buying Civil War art. And during that period, I must have had my work in maybe 30 different galleries. And, people couldn't get enough Civil War art, and I did very well. And over the last couple of years, though, a lot of these galleries, I guess maybe everybody who's wanted Civil War art bought it or whatever. But, there's been a great, a lot of these galleries have gone out of business, partly because of the economy, partly because, who knows, maybe everybody's gotten everything they could possibly get with Civil War art. I mean, it was a lot of stuff, a lot of artists doing stuff. now pretty much it's my website and word of mouth. A lot of people are familiar with my work. There are a lot of websites out there with my stuff on it. Different Civil War magazines still do things. It's just it was a recent Civil War Times magazine article about the worst and best monuments at Gettysburg, and I read that article with hoping that I wouldn't be included in the worst, and maybe I would be included with the best. Well, you know, I didn't make either category, so I felt, well, okay, at least I didn't make the worst, because of course art is always in the eyes of the beholder, and although I feel it's very difficult to judge monuments, you know, on an artistic basis, because I mean they're basically there to remind people of what happened and what went on, you know, during the Civil War or other periods of history. I still think it's interesting that somebody would, I guess, venture into that area of critiquing monuments, you know. But I didn't make the list. But in the following 2 months later, when the Civil War Times came out again, they had like in the mail call, and they had a big picture of my friend-to-friend Masonic memorial, and some person had wrote in stating that they were surprised that this didn't make the best category, and it brings tears to their eyes every time you know they go visit this monument. So I finally kind of felt good about that, and I wrote them a letter, you know, giving them my opinions about how difficult I thought it was to critique monuments, you know, and they're going to print that letter in their December issue, you know. So I'm getting a lot of mileage out of this. So every little thing like that happens, you know. And of course, my wife has been very involved in trying to get stories about me published in different magazines. All the local magazines from the area have had stories about me and other things in art magazines. So all that helps. You know, you got to look at it as a business, and you got to get the word out there that this is what you do, and let people know, you know, what you can do, you know. And hopefully in the end it pays off and you make a living at doing something you absolutely love.
And hopefully after this broadcast you'll be just inundated.
Well, that would be great. You know? Always looking for commissions.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much for being
it's
on the afternoon show. And you've just been listening to Ron Tunison, sculptor, artist and Cairo resident, and also Robert Hempstead, trustee for the Cairo Historical Society. And they will both be at Gallagher's Banquet Hall in Cairo on Thursday, August the 18th, to memorialise the Civil War and the sculpture of Ron Tunison. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Vivendo dessa maneira, continua é besteira, não adianta não. O que passou é poeira, deixa de asneira, que eu não sou limão. Foi de conversa em conversa, você vai arranjando um meio de brigar. Foi de palavra em palavra, você está querendo é nos separar. Parece até que o destino uniu-se com você só pra me maltratar. E cada dia que passa é mais uma tormenta que eu deixei ficar. Nosso viver não adianta, é melhor juntarmos nossos tratos. Arrume tudo que é seu, que eu vou separando os meus farrapos. Vivendo dessa maneira, continua é besteira, não adianta não. Não, não, o que passou é poeira, deixa de asneira, que eu não sou limão. Vou te conversa e conversa.